Some of you may be wondering, the pulpit is still on this side. And you may be wondering about that, because oftentimes when things change within a church, especially in the sanctuary, it makes people wonder and think. And we moved it over here on Easter Sunday because the musicians, our wonderful brass, needed space, and so we moved it over here. And we're actually going to move it back over there this week, but one of the things that was told to me on Easter by our very own trustee, Miss Sarah Smith, and this was awesome what she said. She said, "Finally, the pulpit's on my side of the church." Well, it's been here, and I've been preaching out of the pulpit, but in honor of you, Miss Sarah, I am going to preach out of the pulpit this week, since it's moving back over there next week. But I'm doing this for you, and I told First Service the same thing. So this is for Miss Sarah, our trustee, and we give thanks for that. And it's actually appropriate that we're doing this because also at First Service today, I was talking with someone, and she had told me that she kind of liked having the pulpit over here for this one reason, that it made you think. Like it made your brain actually transform and do a little something because we're so used to seeing things in one place that when you change it up, maybe you do this in your home from time to time, is that when you change it up, it makes you pay attention and it makes you notice. And that can be a very good thing because we often need to have moments of transformation in our life. We have to have moments that make us think and reconsider things from a whole different viewpoint. And really, if we really get down to it, that's what this whole Easter season is about. In fact, that may be the centerpiece of what our whole faith is about. Think about it. You know, Easter is about us reimagining the world from the perspective of God, reimagining a world where new life comes out of death, where death is not the final word, but that in fact God's word, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, all of that becomes the new word, the final word, the word of hope and promise and new life. I mean, that's what we're called to reimagine. And that's often difficult to do. If there's a word that is going to define Easter and the Easter season, really, it's the word, I would submit the word transformation. You know, because a man who was dead on a cross is transformed into the living embodiment of God yet again in our world. The disciples were transformed from a group of scared disciples of Jesus and locked away out of fear to be people who helped to witness to this amazing message of Jesus Christ, this gospel message that 2,000 years later has included billions of people. Think about it. Our message started and it came from those scared disciples who we heard about last week in the story of Thomas and then yet again this week with Jesus coming near to them. And notice what Jesus does. I think it's telling. Jesus comes to them in both experiences. And the first thing he says to them is, "Peace be with you." That his kingdom, the transformation from what was before to what is now post-resurrection, always will begin in peace. And Jesus comes and says, "Peace be with you." And then he goes on, like he did last week, to say this. He offers them something amazing. He says to them, and here I am finding my spot, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and look at my feet. See that it is myself. Touch me and see," he says. See, it's really powerful to me that the transformation that occurs in this new inaugurated kingdom of Jesus, this transformation happens viscerally and it happens with Jesus offering his body. He doesn't offer them simply wonderful words. He doesn't offer them simply a wonderful doctrine. He doesn't offer them simply these practices. No, what he does is he offers them his body. He did that for Thomas last week. Remember? To transfer Thomas from the one who says, unless I see these things, I will not believe, to the one who is transformed into my Lord and my God. To move these disciples who were afraid into the people who will be his witnesses in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. What Jesus does foremost is offer his body. A body that we are reminded still carries its wounds with it. Now in your life, I would imagine that you've had times of transformation. Perhaps it was in a relationship of yours, or perhaps it was in a thought process, or a transformation that was caused by an event beyond your control. And whatever those transformations were, whatever they happened to be, I would dare say that there was some sense of woundedness as a part of that. Or a sense of touch, someone who came near to you and was physically present with you in the midst of that transformation. And that is exactly what Jesus does here. It's exactly what Jesus does. And the thing is, for this inaugurated kingdom of Jesus to continue as it does in this world, it offers the same thing. The body of Christ in all of its woundedness and brokenness and scars to meet people where they are in their fear so that their lives can be transformed into hope. And the thing is, who is the body of Christ that Jesus is offering into this world today? It is you. It is you in your brokenness, in your vulnerability, in your willingness to risk, and your courage, and your faith, and your trust in God. You now are the body of Christ that has been given to this world so that transformation might occur. And the model for us is Jesus. Jesus was willing to go where the people were afraid. Jesus was willing to go to the people that had disappointed him. Jesus was willing to go to the people who had been solidly behind them but then had left for some reason. He was willing to go to people who were scared and to offer himself. Wounds, brokenness, and all. What a beautiful image for what it means to be the church today and who we are called to be as the people of Bethel. Where are those places in our friends around us lives where they are in fear or they're scared or maybe they've just simply disappointed us? How might we be Christ for them? Who are those people in our community who are scared, who are frightened, or who have simply disappointed us, who we can be Christ for? Who are the people in the world who are scared and who are frightened, or who have simply disappointed us, who we can be Christ for in the world, bringing our wounds and our vulnerability, yet also our faith, so that transformation might happen? Because friends, that is who Jesus calls us to be. He says very clearly. Then he says to them that you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. My witnesses. You are my witnesses of these things. See, we don't witness to things that are fantastic and and people can't understand. We're not to go and lord it over someone. We're called to be the one who witnesses to the Lord who is over all things. And what do we witness to? We witness to the way God heals and brings new life. You are the body of Christ. You get to be Jesus' hands and feet in this world. You get the opportunity to witness God's amazing acts all over this world. You! Do you feel special? Do you feel unique? You should. What a gift you have been given to be the witnesses to what God has done. Do not be afraid. Jubilate Deo to God for this great opportunity and gift. And friends, let us be the body of Christ, not only for this world, but for each other. Because let me tell you, God is doing something special and powerful in you. And God will continue to be there for you so that you can indeed be the witnesses that God has called you in your baptism to be. So jubilate Deo. Give thanks and enjoy and welcome and embrace this new opportunity that God has given you. An opportunity to be the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.